Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the 628th edition of the Feuersteins Fire American Soccer Show. I'm your host, Daniel Feuerstein. I'll give you American perspective, our clubs, leagues, players, national team, and other fabulous moments. Get your daily reading from me and other writers over at Beyond the 90 at beyondthe90.substack.com, and, of course, locally on the New York Red Bulls at Red Bull News Network. But as always, this show is dedicated to the American game. Chat room is open. Come on in. Discuss amongst yourselves if you like. If you have a question for me, I'll try to answer it to the best of my abilities. Major League Soccer, at this point in time, is having the worst PR you could ever see in a first division football league, soccer league, in front of our eyes. It's not just the debacle of the U.S. Open Cup. No, it's not just that. It is also the debacle of why our regular officials, starting center refs, nearside assistant, farside assistant, fourth official, VAR, assistant VAR, they are not back yet. And the lockout is still going on. And even though they're using replacement referees, you would like to think that they would do some due diligence on who they assign a match and see if they will be able to officiate it properly. Case in point, this past weekend, the original referee for Inter Miami hosting Orlando City was a Mr. Guilherme Cerreta. He was supposed to be going in as, basically, the center circle referee, the main referee to call the match. And what happened was this, and I want to give kudos to Jeff Carlisle of ESPN FC for finding the story and reporting it. Apparently, Mr. Cerreta, in a photo, was wearing a Lionel Messi Inter Miami shirt. So, without doing their due diligence, pro referees, the officiating arm of MLS, you assigned a match, basically the Florida Derby, in Chase Stadium, and the referee is a Lionel Messi fan who has Lionel Messi's Inter Miami jersey. So isn't that a little suspicious? Shouldn't you have done your due diligence, pro, to make sure something like this never happens? Wouldn't it have been prudent to make sure that any of these referees that you have brought over to replace the current ones that you're locking out, shouldn't you have made sure he's not a diehard Lionel Messi fan, that he could have basically jeopardized the match? And Orlando City could have protested it. So Mr. Cerreta was replaced by Jaime Herrera, who at the time was supposed to be the fourth official, but now he was the main referee of the match, and then Mr. Ivan Sid Cruz stepped in as the fourth official, while basically both assistants were still there, Bruno Rizzo and Regis Cardoso. And the pictures were revealed by the X account of MLS Ref Stats. And, you know, obviously Pro did respond and say, you know, they did remove him from that match because of the conflict that was going to give out. All I can tell everyone is this. I don't know when there will be peace and harmony between Pro and the Professional Soccer Referees Association Union, but this is getting very comical, and it's getting very sad. It's getting very, very sad and comical that our officials are not being compensated for what they should be compensated for. And I'll say this, at least the officiating union is doing a better job of battling with Major League Soccer than the Players Union of Major League Soccer. Because as we have already said on this show and many other places, it feels like Mr. Bob Foos is in bed with MLS, finding a way to underhook and basically sink the U.S. Open Cup. It is an absolute travesty what Major League Soccer is doing in the year of 2024. And the truth is they don't care. Just make the money. Just put the product out. They don't care. Just get the referees out there. Let them agree to whatever they want to agree to. Or if they agree with us, we'll just move forward. Nope, not anymore. The sport is established in this country, not just supporting a European side, a South American side, a Liga MX Mexican side, and those other people who come over from Asia and Africa who support their clubs and their national teams on the other side of the Atlantic, as well as the other side of the Pacific. It is time for Major League Soccer to understand something. You don't own or run the game as a whole. That is the job of U.S. Soccer. But as we have seen so far, U.S. Soccer, when you think they want the job, they don't. Because once again, I understood why they wanted the Open Cup and have the tournament done, but still though, you are the governing body of the sport in the United States. 48 states mainland, 2 states not on the mainland, meaning Hawaii and Alaska. But you're still part of the United States. Your states. Why is it you cannot officiate and govern the game properly? And I understand it's not all the fault of Cindy Parlow-Cohn and JT Batson, but when you are making strides and the game is making strides as a whole, why is it you can't just tell MLS no? Why is it you cannot tell them no? MLS worries about MLS things. And now MLS has so many fingers in every single cookie jar. And that goes towards what they do in their own league, what they're doing U.S. Soccer Federation-wise, and now it's official. Now they're doing it in CONCACAF as the main marketing helper, as their Soccer United marketing end is officially helping CONCACAF. So whatever MLS says, U.S. Soccer and CONCACAF does. And it's a shame. To have MLS, or as the English say, having so many fingers in so many pies, it's just pathetic. It's terrible. It's terrible. That's not supposed to happen. Not supposed to happen. But unfortunately, this is what happens when you have organizations who are supposed to be governing the game as a whole in this country, and now, as the governing body of the region of the game in this area of North America, Central America, and Caribbean, now is going to control anything and everything. That's not what we're supposed to be doing here, folks. MLS is just worried about league matters, and that's it. And when it comes to U.S. soccer matters, it should be at the federation level. Yes, MLS has a say in whatever, or they have to listen in, and I understand that, because they have to be involved in what goes on in the Open Cup. But once again, this is U.S. soccer's tournament. And isn't it fitting and interesting that Nelson Rodriguez, the executive vice president of competitions, finally says something that Don Garber did not say? But we all know Don Garber told Nelson Rodriguez, it's your turn. You go and say it. I've said enough. Don Garber should, I just feel Don Garber should be removed from the Board of Governors for the continued backstabbing and the mudslinging on the U.S. Open Cup that was dedicated to the man by the name of Lamar Hunt, who has helped this sport for a very, very long time. And if no one is going to recognize what Lamar Hunt has done for the game, they will not do anything. I really hope the sons, Clark and Dan Hunt, will step in and maybe do something. I don't know if they will. I don't know, honestly, if they can. But what their father has done for this sport, and of course the NFL, we can't forget what Lamar Hunt's done for both the NFL and for the game of soccer in this country. But the truth of the matter is this. Right now, it's being tarnished. And it's really a sad, sad state of where the Open Cup is, and MLS needs to quit it, and U.S. Soccer needs to find their pair again and say what they did back in December 2023. No. Let's hope they will. Great show for you tonight, and we are going to talk about more of the whole debacle of what MLS has done to the U.S. Open Cup. Joining me is my first guest. He wrote those articles on Hudson River Blue on the situation of the U.S. Open Cup by Major League Soccer, the one and only Michael Batista, also covers the New York Rebels for Red Bull Nation, or for New York Sports Nation. Michael, welcome back, and how are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. Wish I was doing better, but we have an Open Cup coming up, and that's something, isn't it? It's No. Nothing.
Exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm happy the Open Cup is going to be played, but still, though, it just feels a bit lighter in the participation department, if you know what I mean. And Michael, you know, when your sources contacted you about this situation, what did you think of at first when you learned about this happening?
It's interesting because when you first get someone talking to you, and I think you understand this too, is when you get someone talking to you saying the world, the sky is falling, you think, okay, you always get hypochondriacs. But then it was a second source from a different aspect of USL. And I'm like, okay, wait a minute. Is either this is a big lie from the top or something is kind of falling here. And then a third source came. I was like, all right, hold on. Something's going on. It was interesting in the sense that no one else was talking about it. And by that, I mean, it was around the time of the AGM. And that's when things really started to come together / fall apart, I guess, is the way to look at it. Because we saw the article from Jeff Reuter saying that since January, U.S. soccer had been in near daily talks with MLS. But that was really it. I remember specifically there was a continued argument on the Cup.us Twitter account where people kept asking, is it confirmed that all MLS is in? And people like me and other people who run that account kept saying, oh, yeah, they're in, even though I'm like, no, they're all in. But we just kind of went by the fact that the appeal got declined. But once we saw, like, there were discussions going on, and then the AGM showed just how many discussions were going on. It was MLS talking to U.S. soccer. It was U.S. soccer talking to USL. It was USL talking to the USL teams. It was USL teams trying to figure out their bank accounts. I guess that's kind of where you start to see how deep this went and kind of how many moving gears there were going on.
You know, Michael, you and I, you know, and the many of us who either cover the sport or support the sport have been very, very dissatisfied with how Major League Soccer continues with their shenanigans to tarnish the Open Cup and to basically try to find a way to just throw it out. They just don't want any part of it. Why is this the case? And why is it that they just don't want to be a part of it?
Well, it's so many reasons. I can tell you that going into the 2023 season, I had people telling me that MLS was going to lead the Open Cup after 2023. And MLS had been talking about that since the start of 2023. And it feels like once their contract / Soccer United Media's contract ended in advertising the tournament, they had no real reason to stay a part of it besides D1 sanctioning. But I think the MLS kind of knew that they were in a position where what's U.S. Soccer going to do? We knew that U.S. Soccer wasn't going to de-sanction them. It was always going to be, well, we're going to compromise something. And they understand that it's a business. It's a twofold business, too. We keep vilifying MLS, and believe me, I vilified MLS. U.S. Soccer has not made this tournament viable to MLS teams. They have not made it worth, quote-unquote, time. I love this tournament a ton, but MLS teams say that it's not worth their time, and U.S. Soccer has really dropped the ball multiple times. Does that give MLS the right to pull out? No, but they can. And I understand some of the reasoning. I don't think it's right for them to say fixture congestion when then they, you know, you have teams then scheduling friendlies against League of Ireland teams the same day as the Open Cup, or you have DC United scheduling Saudi Arabia friendlies, you know, for the next 5 years. I think that kind of slaps the face of that argument, but I do think that both sides have reason to be disappointed in the other.
Well, let me ask you this, though. I mean, why is it MLS continues to make up excuses to get their way, or at least to inform the people who are either MLS supporters or those that are fans of the Open Cup that want to see MLS teams show what they're made of? I mean, because it's not always about the money. They want to see – look at – they want to see these MLS teams face off against the Charleston Batteries, the Lexington SCs, you know, the Christos FCs, if they do get that far deep into the tournament. They want – I mean, you've covered so many lower division games. You've covered so many Open Cup games, whether it be in the New York, New Jersey area, you went to Pennsylvania, or you go to Connecticut, or you go to the Boston area. You know what goes on, even in New Jersey at the same time. It's like you know what goes on. You know what these teams want to do when they get an opportunity to try and play an MLS team. And how many times we see online on Twitter – you see a team in the fifth or sixth division of France, and then they get drawn with Paris Saint-Germain, and they're excited because they're getting drawn with the big boys.
I mean, for Major League Soccer, it simply comes down to the fact that PR is not going to look favorably upon you if you just say we want more money and we want more revenue. Like, look, Major League Soccer could have just – they keep saying it's player fatigue, you know, what's the NBA term? Load management. They, you know, healthy scratches. They keep saying it's this issue. They could have quietly fixed that issue and played the tournaments by changing their own rules, but they didn't. So they know that if they keep saying it's player safety and player health and too many games, any normal fan or any surface level fan is going to see that and go, well, you know, that makes sense. But if you look deeply, it doesn't, if you look a little beyond the surface, it doesn't totally bear water. It really just comes down to the fact that they want more money. They want more control over the media revenue, especially with players like Lionel Messi potentially playing in these tournament games. Like, I could guarantee you that Major League Soccer and Apple were not happy that Lionel Messi was playing on CBS, and CBS was making money off of that, and that U.S. Huh. Soccer was going to, and yeah, of course. But then they're going to like sell the broadcast rights. MLS going, no, this is our thing. We paid. We changed the roster rules. This is our thing, and they know for a fact that that's not going to play well with the PR. They just keep trying to make it seem like, woe is us, our players are so tired, they got to play in League Cup, the thing we created.
Exactly. You know, Stu Holden stepped down as part of the Open Cup committee. Arthur Madison, he stepped down as the commissioner of the Open Cup, or at least the head supervisor of the Open Cup committee. When they both stepped down, what did you think about that?
I'll be honest with you. Once that started to happen, I was just kind of confused more than anything, just because I don't know. Because after – when my article went out on that Sunday, it felt like things started to really – go into a high gear over the next few days, because then Jeff Carlisle put out his story and then said Arthur stepped down. I was sort of confused. And then Stu stepped down and saying it's in grave danger. I disagree with them, because stepping down is totally admitting defeat. And Stu Holden has always been a firm believer in the Open Cup and one of the media personalities who will go on record and say how good it is. And that's something that we don't see a lot on ESPN and Fox. Alexi Lawless will openly hate the Open Cup. But, you know, Stu Holden's always been pretty pro-Open Cup. Same with Twellman, honestly. But I honestly don't understand the logic of stepping down. Arthur was forced to step down, according to Jeff Carlisle.
He was forced.
Well, that was what Jeff Carlisle said.
Okay.
Jeff Carlisle said that he was not budging, and then he was asked to step down. But Stu, it felt like he stepped down on his own. And like I said, that just feels very – how bad is it in there that that's the better option? Whereas still hope that if U.S. soccer does make things better, MLS will come back to the tournament. I don't know, but is things really that bad that you just want to go up and quit it all?
I understand what you're saying, and even though U.S. Soccer has already said they have now new sponsors for the Open Cup, and I don't know how much in total the new sponsors that they got, obviously Marriott Hotels, Michelob Light Beer, New York Life Insurance, and they got more money from their official supplier in Nike. I mean, I don't know how much the total is, but it sounds like it's significant enough that the prize money will get bigger. Hopefully, we'll see what happens, but do you feel that's going to help their cause for the future?
Not yet. They need three more things. They need a title sponsor. They can have all these sponsors, but you need a title sponsor.
Absolutely.
Because that's where the big money is. You need that. Two, you need to have a broadcast deal. The broadcast deal going into 2024 appears to be the same Turner deal as last year. You need to get this tournament on Max, the streaming service. You need something for the tournament to have a singular home where it can have infrastructure to be built around it rather than these YouTube streams and this random, what maybe CBS Go Laza stream once in a while. You need something more permanent than that. And third, you just need a roadmap of you need a roadmap of goals going forward for the next 5 years, whether that's increasing bid money, whether that's diversifying, like how the tournament is shelled out to other countries, or how it is broadcast, or where you get that money coming in from. You need that sort of roadmap. MLS is not just going to look at, oh, you got Michelob Ultra. They got Heineken. You need more than that, and you need to be stable, and you need to stop kind of falling apart at the seams, if that's the good way to put it. I love the Open Cup. I will say that they have made improvements, but the fact that the tournament is back on the Turner broadcast deal for 2024, even though they knew Lionel Messi was going to be in the tournament this year, and the tournament's still going to be on this YouTube deal, that's kind of ridiculous, though. And I hate to sound like I hate to sound like I'm agreeing with MLS, but if that was their whole plan, that's a problem. And MLS has the right to go, you got to fix something on this.
So it will be on Max, some of the games, not all the games, obviously, but some of the games. CBS is still involved in some games, correct?
Can the nature of the broadcast deal is that U.S. soccer can shop around the dates. That's what they did last year, where CBS Galazzo wanted content, so they start picking up games once in a while. That contract is still the same, where the main broadcaster is Turner, but U.S. soccer has the ability / right to shop around matches and other things for future rounds. So it could be Galazzo,
right.
It could be ESPN, it could be whoever.
Why couldn't U.S. Soccer, you know, invite everyone to just pick a game? Why can't they just have CBS, Turner, ESPN, NBC, and Apple pick some games? I mean, wouldn't that be better?
I don't know. I don't know why Apple, but I don't know if Apple truly wants the Open Cup. Speak on that, but there's probably if they don't have all of the Open Cup, I don't know, they probably don't want just one or two games. They don't want that. I couldn't even fathom a guess why they don't. I bet you it's so messy to do it one game on like each of these different services. So I don't know.
What's your thoughts about the job that both Cindy Parlow-Cohn and JT Batson have done with this entire Open Cup situation from December up till March 1st?
Remind me, which one is JT Batson?
CEO.
Okay. Cohn, what I can say about Cindy Cohn, because is that, did you see the Jeff Reuter article that came out last week about how the European Super League rule affected this whole thing?
Yes, I saw that. Yep.
So my understanding is that once they put the waiver, they declined the waiver for MLS, saying it's going to be reserve teams. And then that ruling came out. U.S. Soccer was stuck because I bet you U.S. Soccer could have won any lawsuit that MLS put out. The problem is that they had 2 months to figure it out. They had 2 months to talk to their lawyers, and they had tell MLS to go shove it, and then MLS was going to say, okay, we're going to court. And that just looked awful. Now they have a year. And now they have a year to look over everything, see if the MLS's case holds water. And then going into 2025, there's a chance they just say, or going into 2025, they go, no, you're all in. You're not going to win this case. I don't think that she was fairly given a full shot with this. I think Sidney Cohn has done a mediocre job as president, but I don't know if this is all on her. I think that MLS pulled a fast one. They used the lawyers to their advantage, kind of similar to how in 2017-18, after the NASL got de-sanctioned, the three surviving NASL teams that went to the NPSL ended up in the Open Cup appealing to U.S. Soccer, saying we're going to go through a lawsuit. They go, fine, we're going to make it open. We're going to make a qualifying round just for you guys. I think in a similar vein, they just said, fine, we'll deal with this now, and then they're going to go over their options going into 25. She did the best she could, but she looked very weak in conceding as much as she did, and she's going to have to live with that. Her and her administration are going to have to live with that.
So let me ask you this. In your opinion, even though with that decision by the Court of Arbitration for Sport ruled in favor of that Super League that they want to do in Europe, and, of course, MLS, you know, taking advantage of that, of course. But let me ask you this. If U.S. Soccer, which now they have the time, Parlow-Cohn and Batson have time now to regroup and, you know, start doing certain things, you know, behind closed doors and maybe finding a way to bring Major League Soccer and all of their clubs back in. And, of course, we all know San Diego FC will probably start next season. Is there an opportunity where they may threaten the sanctioning of MLS's first division as well as MLS Next Pro's third division? Because, once again, U.S. Soccer gives the sanctionings. They give that power.
I don't know, because they keep saying the sanctioning was never in threat. And in public, Nelson Rodriguez and others have said, and other sources of mine have said, that the sanctioning was never called into question. And that's annoying, but they know it's a Trump card. If they know it's the nuclear option, that you play it and there's no going back. Know if they will ever truly play it. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, let me throw this at you. Let's just say for the heck of it, just, you know, for argument's sake, let's just say U.S. Soccer does de-sanction MLS. Would MLS continue to operate and they wouldn't care? Or do you think that... They may just find a way to get back to the good graces.
No, they would stop playing and then they sue. Why would you play soccer? You're not going to have players. Lionel Messi's not going to play for you if you're G-sanctioned league because they can't play for Argentina. You're not going to have any of these players for internationals, you're not going to have any of the FIFA benefits. They wouldn't play. They would stop. They would put the soccer balls down and then just call the lawyers. And then we'd be in arbitration. And then MLS and NASL are going to be like sitting next to each other in the courtroom, thinking, how do we become buddies here? There's no serious way that MLS would even consider playing on during that whole debacle.
Nope, that's true. That's true. I just wanted to see what those options might be, just in case MLS tries, or say U.S. Soccer wants to try the desanctioning route. But I will say this. You know, this is a very, very big mess that's been thrown out there, Michael, and it's really hard to see this happening. And, you know, look, I admit I'm not a scholar. I'm not an expert in the backroom deals, you know, such and such and so and so. But it's really disheartening to see the game in a very, very bad position, where the Open Cup is being basically attempted to be thrown out by MLS as a whole almost.
And I don't really think anyone has any really – there's no recourse fans can do. There's all this talk about how fans can protest, but they can't. Your season ticket holders, you've already given MLS your money. If you don't go to the games, they're still going to count you as being there because they have your season ticket money. If you don't go to the League Cup, they're just going to sell the tickets anyway because Lionel Messi's in town, and regular people don't care. I really think that in the end of the day, this is all down to how U.S. Soccer does this, because I don't know if fans or journalists or even lower division teams have any ability here to change what MLS thinks. And I know that's depressing, and I know that's downer, but it kind of is the case. If this is up to U.S. Soccer, whether they lure them in with a better tournament because the power dynamics have changed, or they force them in, is a totally different story.
Yeah, that's very, very true. What'd you make of the protests of the St. Louis City soccer fans in the supporter section, walking in with banners with Open Cup logos and representing the championship teams of those past St. Louis sides that won it, and chanting Open Cup in their supporter section when their club played against New York City FC?
I thought that was really cool. I love the fact that the St. Louisans have always been soccer in St. Louis. Since the days of AC St. Louis and the NASL, they have always been there. They've always been supported teams from colleges to MTSL. So they know their stuff, and they know how important it is to the history of St. Louis. I will say that it is very funny that they did not bring the banners into their supporter section with them, because they only marched with them and then they left them outside, or they didn't hang them up. And the reasoning is because those banners didn't get approval. And I'm like, what's the point of a protest if it needs approval? I hate this league so much, Dan, where you need to get a formal agreement to put a protest banner, Dan. It makes no sense. It was so great until I found that out, where it's like, well, we couldn't bring it to the stadium because we didn't get this formally approved. It's like, but you're arguing against the club or the league. I'm so mad.
I know. We're all mad. And before I let you go, Michael, Kartik has informed me your shirt is will be ready to go.
The Inter Miami game is going to be fun.
You have a good night, Michael. Thank you again, and once again, great job reporting, sir.
Thank you so much. Viva Open Cup.
Viva Open Cup. Thank you once again. Michael Batista, Hudson River Blue, of course, Red Bull Nation, as well part of New York Sports Nation Network, talking about the Open Cup. And now Carter Krishnar of World Soccer Talk joins me as we get his thoughts as well. If you listened in or not, Kartik, but we've got problems here with the Open Cup situation, yeah. And apparently it leads to that that decision by the Court of Arbitration for Sports when they talked about Super League coming in.
Yeah, and actually that was the European Court of Justice. I think a claim could be taken to CAF, potentially. But I would like to see this litigated in U.S. court. I mean, U.S. soccer has faced enough lawsuits. You would hate for them to have to go through another legal processes here. But MLS, I don't think, can just waive a European court ruling and say, hey, case closed. You don't have the power to enforce anything else. And if that's the case, then there's no point in having governing bodies. There's no point in having standards. There's no point in having anything. I'm not a fan of the Pro League standards, as we talked about, and you and Michael went back and forth. Michael has a lot of knowledge of the PLS also with his history in the game. But this particular standard is not controversial. This isn't like the metropolitan area we talked about, or either the population requirement or the net worth requirement or any of those sorts of time zone requirement. That's another in the PLS. This is the most non-controversial of subjects, or at least we thought it was, which is that to be a professional club in the United States, you must participate in the U.S. Open Cup. To be a professional league in the United States, you must have full participation from your league in the U.S. Open Cup. That's not controversial.
Absolutely. No, that's not. Absolutely.
But apparently now it's controversial. And not only is it not – here's the thing that's really bothering me. There were a lot of people who seem to be big supporters of MLS that are now defending this decision, who I thought were genuine soccer fans, for lack of a better term. I mean, I just don't know how you can be so connected and tied to a corporate entity that you could defend something that's indefensible. Okay? That's the bottom line. And I know that there's a lot. I criticize Nisa a lot. Nisa's going to have a fun time this year with Michael Batista and I being the NASR liaison to that league. I criticize Nisa a lot. I criticize NPSL a lot. Beyond the 90, we've written many columns about issues within NPSL. I criticize USL as much as I criticize MLS. So it's not just reflexively taking the anti-MLS side, saying, I don't know how anyone who's a soccer fan can defend this, but I really don't. I just think it's unconscionable. I mean, there's just no in all the stuff we've talked about MLS through the years, all the controversy, I don't think there's anything, Dave John, that even comes to the level of this, quite frankly. This is awful for the game in this country.
It really is. It's terrible. It's disgusting. It's like, I just don't understand why Major League Soccer continues to act like they are the only game in town, or whatever they say goes. How many times have I told you off the air what I've written on Beyond the 90, that they're trying to put so many fingers into so many pies, and everyone's letting them do it. And now you see Cindy Parlow-Cohn and JT Batson of the Federation trying to break free from that stronghold of some United marketing of whatever MLS has been doing ever since they started their marketing arm, and, you know, running the referees with pro referees. And we all know that's becoming a debacle with what happened with the one referee who was supposed to be the match referee for Inter Miami hosting Orlando. And he had to be replaced because he has a picture of wearing a Miami jersey with Messi on the back. I mean, come on. How is that possible? And I know he's a replacement referee, but still, though, shouldn't Pro have done their due diligence to vet the referee to make sure it's a proper ref and he's not going to get starstruck having Messi on the same pitch as he is? I mean, this is getting ridiculous. It's all getting ridiculous. It's just really, really bothering me that everything that we believe this game should be governed, from league-wide, nationwide, and then internationally, regional-wide, and then, of course, FIFA as the whole. And MLS is trying to be like, we are the ones that say what this sport does. Like what the NFL always does for the American football thing, because there's no other American football league except a few small things here and there in Europe and Germany. The NHL runs the NHL. The USA Hockey has no say. The NBA runs the NBA. USA Basketball has no say. Major League Baseball runs Major League Baseball. If there is an international governing body for USA Baseball, they have no say, because basically it's MLB that says whatever they want.
Yeah, but this is very strange again, coming from MLS, who had for many years tried to comply with these standards, and in fact had defended the standards, right? They were co-defendant in the NASL lawsuit regarding these standards. The lawsuit that we call it the NASL lawsuit. The NASL is an entity suit, but Rocco Commisso really the driving force of it. So you can call it the Cosmos lawsuit or the Commisso lawsuit. But they now suddenly, when it's inconvenient for them, don't want these standards. They want to be governing themselves. They've got some sort of relationship with CONCACAF, who and I want to be careful with this here, Daniel, because I hear conflicting things. I don't want to get sloppy in our reporting here.
Of course not.
CONCACAF apparently weighed in on U.S. Open Cup in terms of a spot, taking the spot away from U.S. Open Cup. A couple things here. One, I think the spot for CONCACAF Champions League should be determined by the federation and not by an individual league. And I think this is the case in Europe, where spots for UEFA competition should be determined by the FAs in those countries, the DFB in Germany, et cetera, FA in England, rather than by the leagues. Otherwise, because the leagues are under the football associations, who are under the leagues are under the federations that are under the confederations, who are under FIFA. You have to have a CREOL protocol here. You can't skip one level. So I have a governance problem with that. But I want to say that I've gotten conflicting reports. There are implications out there, and some reporting, including Michael, who you just had on, that have said CONCACAF weighed in on behalf of MLS and implied maybe it was because they have a business relationship with MLS, which I've also written about, right, which I wrote about this morning on Beyond the Ninth.
Yep.
That's for sure. There's a business relationship there. But, Daniel, there are other people who tell me CONCACAF weighed in because they didn't want the precedent being set of a domestic cup in their region that did not have first division clubs in it being given a spot in the CONCACAF Champions League, the CONCACAF Champions Cup now, right? They changed the name again and the format.
Yep.
So
yep.
I'm going to give the caveat that might be the case, and if that was the case, then CONCACAF was acting in CONCACAF's interest. However, if the other scenario is actually what happened, where CONCACAF, because they have a business relationship with MLS, because Soccer United Marketing markets the CONCACAF Champions Cup, because for whatever reason CONCACAF under Victor Montagliani, the same man who forced the Ottawa Fury to leave USL but has allowed three Canadian clubs to stay in MLS, talk about a double standard, Victor Montagliani rubber stamped League's Cup, said, you know what, it's only two countries in the federation. The other sub-regional cups that we have, the Central American Cup, the Caribbean Championship, we manage those. CONCACAF manages those. But we're going to let you manage this, Soccer United Marketing. If that's the reason why they weighed in, that it's a really bad thing. You have a situation where a league and a federation are squeezing out a league and a confederation are squeezing out the level in between them. And that has horrible ramifications for soccer governance beyond just this issue of the U.S. Open Cup and what they are trying to do to the U.S. Open Cup. I mean, if the rules are thrown out and suddenly the Confederation and the league is working together without the Federation in the middle, I shudder to think what might happen to the game. You know, it might be chaos. And as you said, at that point, MLS kind of takes control. MLS may not just have control of soccer in this country, akin to Major League Baseball, NFL, NBA, as you mentioned. They will have control of football in the entire North American, Central American, and Caribbean region if this it would continue down this path. So, again, that's one possible reason for CONCACAF's intervention. The other is what I laid out, which may have been very innocent, and said CONCACAF saying, hey, U.S. soccer, we can't give you a spot if there's no first division teams in this competition. I don't know what the answer is.
Okay, so now let's now get a little more serious here. Where does FIFA come in all this?
I don't know. They have not said a word. They have allowed the U.S. Soccer Federation to be pushed around by Major League Soccer. They haven't stepped in. We haven't heard from Gianni Infantino. He hasn't been there saying, hey, I back up Cindy Cohn, who, by the way, is a former player. Okay, so I don't want to be too snobbish here and sound too snobbish, but she's a former great player, whereas Don Garber is a sports executive, right? He doesn't have any, you know, he does some good things for the game in this country, but
But I,
you know, if I'm a soccer person, if I'm a football person, I know who I'm standing with between those two.
Yep.
I don't think there's any question, but the FIFA has not come in. They have not defended Cindy Cohn. They have not defended U.S. soccer. They have allowed a league because I think it's, again, money related. There's a World Cup here in 2 years. They just wanted this thing to go away. And who knows? They may have taken MLS's side if they had intervened, which is unprecedented, right? FIFA has sided with the confederations and the federations against clubs time and again. Let's just even talk about the dispute U.S. soccer is part of, which is the dispute with Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, who wanted to bring a La Liga game to Miami. The Spanish Federation, U.S. Soccer Federation, and FIFA stood in unison against La Liga and against relevant sports / the Miami Dolphins and said you can't bring Barcelona versus Girona to Miami. Okay, that's what FIFA is supposed to do. They're supposed to stand with their confederations and their member nation federations and push back against the excesses and the rogue natures of the league. Now, in this case, they were nowhere to be heard, nowhere to be found. I think after the you opened with me by talking about Court of Arbitration on Sport, I want to mention a claim at the Court of Arbitration on Sport I was involved in because the club I worked for, Miami FC, along with Dennis Crowley and the Stockade FC in Kingston, New York, had filed a claim against FIFA and CONCACAF and the U.S. Soccer Federation there. I think because that case went the way it did, MLS feels like they have free rein now to do whatever they want. It's really unfortunate. So we'll see what happens this year with the Cup. It's supposed to be a reset, but I'm very discouraged by the situation and by FIFA and CONCACAF's behavior. We haven't talked enough about that. We've been expressing a lot of ire, rightly so, at MLS. But MLS would not be able to have gone to these lengths, Daniel, to do what they did if the governing bodies above U.S. soccer did their job. CONCACAF
exactly
didn't do their job. They were a force. They were, in fact, doing the opposite. And FIFA, nowhere to be found.
Exactly. I mean, you know, FIFA, when they came in to Guatemala, where the Guatemalan FA suspended players due to, you know, for doping, and then those players went to the government's sport manager, you know, for the country, who's not a part of FIFA, and overturned it, well then, FIFA came in and basically took out whoever was in the Guatemalan FA and suspended the, you know, Guatemala's national team for participating in any, you know, international competitions, whether it be friendlies, Gold Cups, World Cup qualifying, if you qualify for the World Cup, their clubs, if they did attempt to qualify for the CONCACAF Champions Cup, Champions League, whatever, those clubs were not allowed to be involved in the CONCACAF Champions League either. So this is where I get very annoyed, and I get very, very curious to know, will FIFA step in? Because are they hoping and praying that MLS is still around? Like, they want to make sure that there's football in this country? Or maybe, we all know, like you said, the World Cup is going to be here in about 2 years, a little over 2 years. We know there's a Copa America coming this summer. I mean, what's going on? I mean, where is the outrage in the world of football, not just here in the U.S., but outside of it?
Yeah, this is bizarre behavior from so-called governing bodies, right? I mean, this is, again, we know they stepped into El Salvador, both CONCACAF and FIFA stepped into El Salvador and suspended them from international football for a period of time. El Salvador ended up coming back stronger, actually, after that. Guatemala, you mentioned, same thing. We've seen other issues around this confederation, around CONCACAF. We've seen issues in Europe. We have seen the recent suspension of countries in Asia. We have seen processes where judicial claims were any use of the judiciary. We saw this in Chile back in 2009, 2010, sometime around then. The courts, and this is the time when Chile had a great national team. Bielsa was leading them, one of the best teams in the world. They almost missed the World Cup because of what was going on in the courts and what FIFA interpreted as government interference. Now here in the United States, you have lots of court cases involving this sport. You have potentially, because I think if you take this from USL's perspective, I mean, we'll get to that in a minute deeper, but if you take this from USL's perspective, you could argue this is damaging to their business, that what MLS is for. So I'm not ruling out the fact that in the future you could have more litigation created by FIFA and CONCACAF's inaction, or FIFA's inaction, CONCACAF's decision to weigh in for whatever reason. Again, we said that it may have been nefarious, it may not have been, on MLS's behalf. They could be opening themselves up to more litigation, which would be USL saying at some point, you know what, the debt is stacked against us. Clearly, this hurts our business. Because, you know, all these MLS people, they're out there very openly saying, all these pro-MLS people, oh, well, the USL needs to cut more than MLS. You know what, considering how things ending up in court in this sport, in this country, I wouldn't be saying things like that. Because that very well could become a talking point in a court case when USL says, you know what, you guys deliberately set out to hurt our business by doing this. So, FIFA and CONCACAF have invited this. When they've applied a double standard that they don't apply in other countries. And as I mentioned earlier, Montagliani, because I know what happened in that situation very well, because I was in the middle of it. I don't want to get into why I was in the middle of it, but I was in the middle of it. Ottawa was not allowed, the Ottawa Fury were not allowed to continue in USL because Montagliani, who is Canadian, and is the head of CONCACAF, said, Ottawa, there is a Division I league in your country, the CanTL. They gave him a waiver for 1 year, said they could continue in USL. After that year, they said, no, you either go to the CanTL, you have to go to the CanTL. So Ottawa decided to sell their franchise rights and fold the team instead because they felt like their business was not viable in the CanTL and would only be viable if they stayed in USL. There are three Canadian teams in Major League Soccer who have not been – the standard has not been applied to them. So – there are double standards all over the place right now, which ultimately end up becoming court cases. That's what I'm going to say about it.
Exactly. You know what really bothered me? And I know I wrote about it on Beyond the 90. I got a response from one of my tweets where someone who's an MLS supporter was saying, you know, the reasons why, what Manchester City's playing too many games because they're involved in the Premier League, the FA Cup, the League Cup, the EFL League Cup, and the Champions League, and that's why they shouldn't be playing the FA Cup, and that's not true. They should not be excluding themselves because they're playing the Champions League. And the guy responded to me saying, well, that's European culture. What does European culture have to do with MLS?
Right.
You know, not going into the Open Cup. I mean, that makes it, that makes no sense whatsoever.
Well, I don't understand that argument. I mean, I can't even respond because I don't understand what that person means. That's European culture. No, that's culture around the world. That's been culture in MLS since 1996. You talk to our good friend Peter Wilf, who won four of these things, won four Open Cups when he was the president of the Chicago Fire. That was part of MLS culture. My friend, the late great Kevin Payne, would tell me that as well. You know, winning the Open Cup, Kevin Payne would even tell me, winning the Open Cup in 1996 is what got DC United going. The Open Cup is what got DC United going. I think he told me that more than once. And this is something that is very, and I think this is why maybe we've seen MLS 1.0 supporters. I think Lewis is an exception because that's a city with an unbelievable history in the Open Cup. I think outside of New York, they probably have more, historically, more Open Cup wins from clubs from St. Louis than any other place. But this is something that MLS 1.0 supporters, I think Metro Stars, Red Bulls, DC United, Kansas City fans were kind of upset about it. Some other clubs like that, the few Chicago fans that are actually around still were upset about it, Galaxy fans. But then you talk to these newer fan bases. Atlanta has been particularly annoying to me in the last couple months. I mean, and they won an Open Cup, right? I think Ronald DeBoer, they may have won the Open Cup. Am I right?
Yep.
Is it? Yeah. So Atlanta fans are like, it's not some competition. No, it's a stupid competition. And I've heard this from LAFC fans. I've heard this. I'm going to start naming fan bases because I'm annoyed with some of them. LAFC, I guess those LAFC fans weren't Galaxy fans. They just discovered soccer in 2018, some of them. I guess they didn't know about the sport before LAFC kicked the ball. You know, the same sort of thing with some of these NYCFC fans. They act like the Metro Stars weren't there for 20 years for them to support before, right? So some of these fan bases are very disappointed with Charlotte. Charlotte FC, the fans I've interacted with from there. Austin fans are just kind of down in general on things, so I don't really blame them as much. Nashville has been a mixed bag. Inter Miami has been awful. Right, you know, those guys, hopefully, maybe they should never be back in the cup, that club. And I've been disappointed with some of the Orlando fans I've interacted with. You know, I've gone to Open Cup games in Orlando when they were in USL. I was at a game where they beat Tampa Bay 4-0. It was a big game. I was at the Open Cup game where they beat Kansas City. That was in 2013, actually, when they were in USL, which was then the third division, by the way, not the second division. I was at the Open Cup game where they beat Columbus in 2015. Obviously, in my role as the press officer for Fort Lauderdale, I was there when Fort Lauderdale beat them in 2016. And then I saw them here in 2018 or 19 when they played Miami United, which was a fourth division team that was able to advance far enough in the Open Cup to where they got to host an MLS team in Orlando. So very disappointed, although I have to tell you, in Orlando, I think a lot of the original fans that were with the club from USL days have gone west, and they have a new set of fans. But there's a split within MLS. I think very clearly Metro Stars fans are Red Bull fans, excuse me. Metro Stars / Red Bull fans are upset. I think very clearly fans of DC United are angry. about this. I can tell very clearly that there are fans of FC Dallas that aren't happy about this. Chicago fans aren't happy. Galaxy fans are, and Kansas City fans aren't happy. But then some of these other clubs, it's like, oh, and Seattle fans, Seattle and Portland fans aren't happy, obviously. But some of these other clubs, they don't care. And like New England fans, I've heard nothing from them at all, one way or another.
Yeah. No, it's hard to see, you know, the yays and the nays are being split down the middle almost sometimes, and it's just ridiculous. And this is the tweet that – let me just tell you about the guy that – this is what he said. European culture is different here, is different from USA. MLS clubs can't build a similar roster as Man City or Man U at the moment. Because why? Simple, because MLS is suffocating their own roster rules. That's why. But here's what he says also. Those two are capable of balancing multiple tourneys better. I personally believe the best team should compete in Open Cup, not all. And that is a bunch of BS. MLS can improve their roster, their own roster rules, if they would just no longer have these clubs be tagged under a third division club. Just let the kids come up and play the Open Cup. That's all they could have done. We all know what goes on. Does everyone that starts at Man City play in the earlier rounds? No.
No.
Unless it's a big derby
actually.
Rivalry.
Yeah. No, they don't. They don't play those guys. Man City, they play 11 starters, right? In let's say the FA Cup third round, they play maybe three or four of their regulars, and the rest are reserved. And obviously, same thing with the other big clubs. Same thing in the EFL Cup, in the League Cup. But here's the point, right? MLS, as you just said, you just answered this guy's question. They did it. It's their own roster rules. They're the ones who did it. This happened 2 days after MLS. We assumed MLS was going to change the roster rules and the cap for this year, remember? And they didn't. And then 2 days later, they said, you know what? We're out of the Open Cup. Because if they had just allowed for five more roster spots where you could bring guys up from MLS Next Pro, all of this could have been averted. Although I have to say now, in hindsight, maybe there's some MLS teams that don't want to play the Open Cup at all. Inter Miami, Charlotte FC, we can name them, right? The LAFC, maybe these clubs don't want to play Open Cup at all. They think it's beneath them. Charlotte FC thinks it's beneath them to draw North Carolina FC or now the Carolina Core. Although they're in MLS Next Pro, so maybe that's a bad example. Maybe they think it's beneath them to play Richmond in Open Cup competition when Richmond is a club with 30-plus years of history, and Charlotte FC was just created out of thin air whenever they started. Year three for them? Year four? Year four, yeah. There's a lot of arrogance out there among some of these newer MLS teams, as if they're entitled. And this is another thing that's happened that is a very bad trend that has been mentioned to me in the midst of all this, is that for many years, starting with Seattle – and then going through Seattle, Portland, Vancouver, Montreal, Orlando, Cincinnati, Minnesota, there were teams that were coming from USL or NASL that were brought up, right? And they kept the same identity. They kept the same colors. They inherited the fan base. I just went through how that happened in Orlando. I went through it with Montreal, right? When I was press officer for the NASL, we had Montreal in our league. We knew they were going to MLS. They brought Jesse Marsh in the middle of the season to prepare for the MLS season the next year while they were still in NASL. That's how it used to work. Suddenly, after FC Cincinnati, whose fan base has been horrible during this month, 2 months, and who, by the way, probably wouldn't be in MLS if they hadn't had an Open Cup run themselves when they were in USL. Get to the
in 2018. Yep.
When they lost to Red Bull in the semis. They're the last team to be brought up. So there is some link with St. Louis FC, with St. Louis City, a very kind of one small link. But in San Diego, they put a new entity there and put San Diego Loyal out of business. In Austin, they put a new entity there, and the Austin USL Club is out of business. In there's one other place they did it recently. Why am I forgetting? Charlotte. Charlotte, they put a team there, and the USL team is hanging on for dear life. The USL team self-relegated from the second division to the third division. They're still hanging in there, but I've heard rumors that they may relocate, et cetera, for a year now, although they're starting this season again in Charlotte. There's three successive expansion teams, four successive if you include St. Louis, where they haven't done this, MLS, which speaks to the greater problem. There was some solidarity before, which was, hey, we're helping USL, we're helping NASL. In fact, when we got sanctioned at the NASL, Don Garber didn't vote on our sanctioning. He recused himself because he said, look, I have a personal interest in this because, I want NASL to be around because we're taking clubs out of NASL. Montreal, as I mentioned, they later took Minnesota from us. So that was the way it used to work. There was some solidarity. Now suddenly, starting with Atlanta, where there had been a lower division team since the mid-90s, continuously, they started just kind of, starting their own teams in places. And that's part of the problem. So these fan bases are new. They don't have any sense of history. They don't have any appreciation for this competition. Even the fan base like Atlanta that won the competition doesn't seem to care. I don't understand the attitude in Cincinnati. There seems to be a real anti-USL vibe out of Cincinnati, too, which I can't explain that one. That's quite weird. But I don't understand this. So I think what you're seeing now is a lot of anger among older line MLS fans, people who've been MLS fans for more than 5 years, people who've been watching the league since the beginning, like you and I, that don't appreciate what's happened to Open Cup. I even remember some seasons for your club in the Metro Stars days when you were horrible. You guys were awful. And the only thing you had, like the Bora year, for instance, and I think Juan Carlos Osorio's last year, the only thing you guys had was the Open Cup. So you embraced it. And I guess newer MLS fans don't know that feeling.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I was able to get my connection back up there. Sorry about that. Just want to say to thanks again to both Carter Krishnire and Michael Batista for joining me tonight. We're back on here real quick. And since I'm back on, let's just quickly recap the New York Red Bulls' victory against the Houston Dynamo at Shell Energy Stadium. Once again, Benny Olsen tried to play Benny Bunker Ball, and it was the Red Bulls who were down 1-0 finding a way to fight back, and they were helped by some poor defending and some poor passing by Houston, and all you can say is that they took advantage and they got the 3 points. Great job by Lewis Morgan to be in a position to start the equalizer by finding Amaya, who went to Forsberg, made a quick pass over to Dante Van Zier, and Van Zier with a nice cross right to the head of Elise Manuel to make it 1-1 in the 43rd minute. And then just before the hour mark, it was the one and only Lewis Morgan after being out for so long. All you can say is that it was unbelievable to see him not only accept a free gift of a pass by Artur that was unforced on the error, but he makes a nice run, gets to the top of the area, just outside the top of the area, and he blasts it across to make it 2-1 for the Red Bulls, goes top bin, and some stellar goalkeeping by Carlos Coronel, and the New York Red Bulls defeat the Houston Dynamo by a final of 2-1. So for Sandro Schwarz, it is his first victory in Major League Soccer, first victory for the New York Red Bulls. And right now, 4 points in 2 matches, and they're coming back this upcoming weekend to take on FC Dallas for the home opener, and it's going to be exciting, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Great times, great moment. I'm very happy to see what was going on with the New York Red Bulls. It's early on, it's early days, but still, though, it was fabulous to watch. I want to thank my guests tonight, Michael Batista, who covers New York City soccer at Hudson River Blue, as well as Red Bull Nation for the New York Sports Nation Network, and, of course, Carter Krishnar of World Soccer Talk and Beyond the 90. My name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And even though we got cut off there at the end of Carter's segment, unfortunately, we're able to give you as much information as possible, and thankfully my connection did come back up. This time, not Blog Talk Radio. This time it was my internet. But once again, thank you to those gentlemen for joining me tonight. And join me this coming Friday night as we will be recapping the first leg of the round of 16 in the CONCACAF Champions Cup. Once again, my name is Daniel Feuerstein. Thank you very much for listening to me tonight. And as always, please enjoy your football. Thank you. Take care. So long. And have a good night. Bye-bye, everybody. Take care and have a good night.